This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, welcome back to LP Field in Nashville, where the Jaguars have claimed a 29-27 win over the Tennessee Titans. It's Gus Bradley's first win. It's the team's first win. And it is a nice feeling for a lot of these guys. And a good way to start the second half of the season for a young football team.
Well, we talked about it all week. You know, what does this team need to do? Where do they need to improve to have a chance to win ball games? And my opinion was they need to improve on both lines. They need to do a better job against stopping the run. They need to run the ball better. And I think they did a good job in both of those. This Tennessee Titan run game, which was the bread and butter of what they wanted to do, I don't know the final statistics, but they never got it going. And while the Jaguars' run game wasn't probably great by the numbers, they did it enough to control the tempo and give themselves situations where they were manageable down in distance. They didn't go backwards a lot. They didn't turn over the ball. I mean, they did twice with Chad Henne, but as far as, you know, fumbles, you know, just bad things happening, they were able to get turnovers. So that's the recipe, I think, for this team to win. Win the turnover battle. Control the line of scrimmage is better than you did in the first half, and you have a chance to win in the fourth quarter.
Well, since you ask, I'll give you the numbers. It's time now for our Comcast Business final fast stats check. And the Jaguars did not impress in terms of the number of yards. They only finished with 214. Remember, they had four straight games over 350 yards, or right at 350 yards. Today, just 214, 160 from the pass, 54 on the ground. Here are the numbers individually. Chad Henne, 14 of 23 for 180 yards, but two interceptions. And his passer rating goes to 49.2 on the day. Maurice Jones-Drew, 21 carries for 41 yards. That's just, as you know, 2 yards per carry. But he did score a touchdown after Chris Johnson's fumble on the first play of the game to give the Jaguars a 7-0 lead. Jordan Todman, 3 for 11 and a touchdown, his second of the year, to give the Jaguars a 20-7 lead in the third quarter. Denard Robinson, 4 carries. For 3 yards today. The leading receiver for the Jaguars in terms of number of catches, it was Maurice Jones-Drew. He had 4 for 33. In terms of yards, it was Cecil Shorts, who had 2 for 42. Mike Brown had 2 for 40. Mercedes Lewis had 3 for 39. And then Clay Harbor, Stephen Burton, Jordan Todman each had 1 catch apiece. Now, defensively, the Jaguars gave up some yards here in the second half. The Titans managed 362 total, but 279 of those came on the passing attack. Fitzpatrick, 22 of 33 for 264 and 2 touchdowns and a passer rating of 111.2. Jake Locker, before he left the game in the second quarter, 4 of 9 for 24 and a pick for a rating of 12. Jaguars did a nice job in terms of the running game. Chris Johnson finished with 12 carries for 30 yards. That's a 2.5 per carry average. A Sunday after, he averaged 6.5 per carry and ran up 150 and 2 scores in St. Louis. Sean Green, same thing, 9 for 22 for 2.4. Of course, the Jaguars' early lead allowed them to keep the Titans from running the ball. They had 83 rushing yards, which is the Jaguars' defense's best effort of the year. 18 of those came from Jake Locker, 13 from Ryan Fitzpatrick on scrambles. So they only allowed Green and Johnson, their powerful duo, 52 yards on the ground. Leading receiver, by the way, Kendall Wright, 7 for 78 yards today.
And so you listen to those statistics, you're like, wait a second, you know, control the line of scrimmage, the Jags only had 54 yards rushing. And it was, listen, that's not good football as far as numbers. But they didn't get in a lot of negative yardage situations where they were backing up. And that's what they've done in the past, sacks, negative rush yards. And so it was almost offensively, you know, Chad Henne did not have a great day, some bad interceptions, but they didn't shoot themselves in the foot constantly right when there were opportunities to do that. And then, but really why they won this game is the defense came up big when they had to. When the offense was struggling, even after Chad Henne's interception, they bowed their back, only gave up a field goal. Then when they have to get a stop, they get the strip sack, fumble, touchdown recovery by Will Blackman. So those are, it's really, this was a defensive win and the offensive team not killing you.
Let me give you a couple more numbers for the Jaguars. For the defense, 4 takeaways, 3 fumbles recovered, and they made an interception. The offense gave the ball away on 2 interceptions, so the Jags plus 2 on the day. Here's a number you're not going to like. The Jaguars just 3 of 12 on third down. and the Titans were 10 of 18 on third down. So you can see where some of the things need to be improved, as the Jaguars, though, will throw it all away for the moment and claim the win 29-27 over the Tennessee Titans.
Well, listen, you know, offensively, you talk about the big numbers that they put up for 4 weeks with Justin Blackmon, and what were the results of those games?
They were all else.
Listen,
all
at losses. The end of the day, it's about winning football games. And I thought the game plan that Jed Fish had coming in, with the fact that they had no Justin Blackmon, you worried what you could do in the passing game. He committed to running the ball. It wasn't great, but it controlled the game. It slowed it down and allowed the defense not to be on the field as much. And the defense played really good early, getting them, the Titans, off the field. Were opportunistic with the turnovers. And, you know, hats off to Bob Babich and that defensive staff and that side of the ball. They did an outstanding job.
All right, again, the Jaguars pulling off the first win of the season. Looking at some of the unofficial numbers, you know, we call Geno Hayes' name a lot. He finished with 11 tackles, Paul Posluszny with 8. The Jaguars were able to get a sack, their 12th of the season, from Will Blackmon, who turned it into what Jeff Loggeman termed the quadfecta, right? With the sack.
He made up
strip.
A word today.
Yeah. Fumble recovery touchdown. And it worked. It worked. And the Jaguars now come home. First time they've been there in a month. And they'll take on the Arizona Cardinals.
And my hope for this franchise and for the players and for the fans is that they can give this type of effort at home, because the home games this year have not been very good.
Well, they haven't scored a touchdown at Everbank Field.
That's
this
my
year.
Whole point.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to, you know, and so come out and play this way. They were inspired today. And I hope they can build on this. I hope they can build on what that feels like in that locker room right now, which is a good feeling. Because guess what? All the numbers and all the things that didn't work out so well are so much easier to take when it's after a win, and build on that. Have another good week of practice. Get some momentum and come out on Sunday at Everbank Field and have a great, inspired performance and give the home fans something to really get excited about.
You know, they're relatively healthy as well. Now, we're going to find out about Paul Posluszny at some point this week based on the hit that he took late in the fourth quarter here. But for Jacksonville, you know, they've had just a slew of injuries this year, but right now, they're about as healthy as they could possibly be.
If I'm a betting man, Paul Posluszny will be on the field.
Well, then they're about as healthy as you could possibly ask.
That's just my gut feeling, knowing Paul Posluszny, watching his demeanor on the sideline and how badly he wanted to get back in the game. He's a type of guy. He just finds a way to get on the field. He's just a tough guy. And I think Paul will be out there. If he's at all capable of playing, he's going to play.
All right, so now here comes the question. Chad Henne threw 2 picks today. Did he do enough to cement – and he had 3 passes batted at the line of scrimmage. Did he do enough to cement the job for next week, or are we going to be talking about this with Gus and Blaine Gabbert could have a shot with a couple of good days of practice to get back on the field?
Cement? No. I think the cement,
that's why I used that word.
I think the cement's
anything other than cement means we'll be talking about it this
no,
week.
No, I disagree. I think the cement's a little wet. And so there's some movement in there. You know, it's getting ready to settle. But it's a little soft still. I don't think if you're Gus Bradley, you make a quarterback change after a win. I just don't think you won the ball game. Why make that drastic of a change? And I don't think he will.
Well, the only reason I said 214 yards.
I don't care.
3 passes
it's
batted down, 2 interceptions.
They won.
I agree, but your defense won the game, didn't we agree?
Okay, I don't care. You won the ball game.
Right.
I could be wrong. I mean, Gus, they watch film and they know exactly what happened out there and how poor the decisions were, or, you know, whatever it might be. I just don't think it happens.
All right, time to name our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP. Will Blackmon will receive a watch today in the locker room. It's the official watch of the Jaguars. You can get your Bueller Swiss watch at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Time to check in with Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room. He has Gus Bradley standing by. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, congratulations. First win as a head coach in the National Football League to you and your team.
You know, it was a great feeling. And, you know, I'm just so excited for our guys. I mean, from the start to the finish, they stayed together. They believed in what we were talking about. Coming off a bye week, some of the things that we addressed, you know, felt like we tightened some of those things up. It's just a great feeling.
defensively taking the ball away and the field position battle that you guys won throughout basically the whole day was a big point for this ball game.
Especially in the first half, you know, the first quarter where we had some more opportunities too that we didn't capitalize on, but it was a field position game, and I thought we did a nice job capitalizing on those opportunities for the most part.
Defensively, there at the end, Will Blackman gets what I call the quadfecta. Sack, caused fumble, recovered fumble, and touchdown. A guy that certainly meant a lot to you guys because he had to play a lot more than expected.
He did, you know, and we got him some nickel reps as one of the things we decided coming out of the bye week. And then for him to have an opportunity to come off with that blitz and make a play like that for the team is great.
What do you tell your team after this victory? What did you tell them?
Well, you know what? We just said that we want to get better and utilize this game as opportunity. And we want to see improvement from where we were. And that's what we celebrated in there, that we saw tremendous improvement. And we said, you know what? Then you just trust the results will come. And it was such a great illustration to our whole team.
Injuries to report, Paul Posluszny looked like he was a little woozy there. Any other injuries, and what's the status of Paul?
You know, I haven't had a chance to meet with Mike yet, so, you know, I'll get the further update as soon as we get out of here.
All right. Thank you, Gus, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, well, this injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. Jaguars postgame brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, Maple finished. Jaguars win 29-27. And they come home 1-8 to face the Arizona Cardinals. We'll come back with some player interviews from the locker room, plus our Bud Light play of the game when we return after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, we're back on Jaguars postgame from LP Field in Nashville. The Jaguars win 29-27 today. Four takeaways, including an interception from rookie Dwayne Grotz, the first of his NFL career. And he's with Jeff Loggum into the Jaguars locker room now. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Congratulations, Dwayne. Your first career interception and also your first career win.
It feels good. It feels good just to know that our hard work actually paid off this time, man. You know, everyone just hung in there and kept fighting, and it's a good feeling.
Defensively, you guys made plays to put your offense in great field position, got some points early on in the ball game, and you guys fought to the end. How big is this win for this team going forward and building the culture going forward?
It's very big for the whole team. It just, you know, tells us that our hard work does pays off, and if you keep the right mindset and, you know, just keep fighting, that in the end you can get a victory.
Was anything said prior to Will Blackman getting the big play there at the end where he got the sack, caused fumble, recovered fumble, and the touchdown? Was anything said on the sideline amongst the defenders?
We knew we needed to make a stop, and that's all we said. Let's make a stop. Let's go out there and get this ball back, and he did it. He did a good job.
How do you feel? How's your ankle doing?
Ankle's doing fine. Then I'm doing great. Got this first pick, so I mean, it's an unbelievable feeling, especially when you get the W at the end of the day.
Congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dwayne Grotz, the rookie from UConn, back in the starting lineup today for the first time since opening day when he was injured against the Kansas City Chiefs. And Tony, you know, this young secondary has some players back there. I know we all like Cyprian and think Grotz is a guy who can develop into a player, and Josh Evans is a guy who's out there. It's good to see them all making some plays today.
Yeah, I like Grotz a lot. And listen, I like all three of those guys, but I think Grotz is going to be a very good cover corner for a long time. I like his demeanor, how he approaches it. He's a competitive guy, and he had a very nice interception today, and they're better with him out there. So, listen, it's young secondary. This is a great opportunity for them to get the experience and the on-the-job training that is so valuable that will pay off in the years to come.
Grotz today with the pick. The Jaguars also with three fumble recoveries, four takeaways. And, you know, for a defense that really, we talked about them regressing against the Chargers and against the Niners, giving up all the points that they did in recent weeks. It made it very, very difficult to see that the defense would improve so much. But that combination of young players like Dwayne Grotz, who we just heard from, and the guy that Jeff has now, Will Blackman, who is our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, and I'll clue you in, he's probably also our Bud Light play of the game. He's a veteran player who, when the game was on the line late, made a huge play. He's with Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Will, take us back to that play where you got the big play there at the end of the game, where you got the sack, caused fumble, recover, fumble, and a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, we just ran a nickel blitz, and, you know, every week we work on turnovers. You know, Washer has the drill where, you know, we run, reach, and get the ball out, and that's something I have a knack of doing. You know, I get the ball out every practice pretty much, and, you know, it shows up in the game.
Little different role for you today. Dwayne Grotz has come back from the ankle injury. He gets his first career interception. You slide over into that nickel role, which you didn't. I don't think you were doing it in the first half of the game, and you come up with the big play. How important was it for the defense to make the plays with so many different changes like that?
You know what? The cool thing is, no matter what the plan is in terms of rotation, who's starting, doing what, like, we're actually a really tight group, and we support each other. And all week in practice, we turned up and competed. And we ended up just controlling the things we can control, you know. Of course, all of us would like to start. Of course, all of us would love to play. But we all just stayed positive and, you know, put the team first. And when our opportunities present themselves, we all took advantage of them.
Got a new head coach, new staff, new general manager. Yeah, your new culture, new everything. How important was it to finally get a win? Because wins validate what's being done from the staff level all the way down.
Well, it was cool to get the win because what Coach Gus preached all season is what we finally did all week. You know, it's Monday through Saturday, you know, is what gives you, you know, the confidence and the ability to go and perform on Sunday. So, you know, we finally put everything together he's been preaching, you know, and it showed up.
All right, so I got a name for the play that you made. I call it the quadfecta. Do you got a name for it?
Whatever you want to call it, Jeff.
All right, congratulations.
All right, thank you, buddy.
It sounds like he's thinking about trademarking that term, doesn't
he? I think he was mocking Bloggs' quadfecta. I like the quadfecta. I don't think Blackman bought in enough.
Look for a shirt somewhere near you this week, folks. Pacelli
does
not ever sit still. Time now for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go, and we're going right back to Blackman. You know, it was third down and 9 for the Titans, and you're thinking, can the Jaguars hold on here? The Titans had some momentum with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. The Jaguars led just by 2 points, 22-20, and they lined up on third down and 9. You're thinking, can they make a stop right here? Boy, did they. Tight end of the wing is Walker. He goes in motion left. 3 receivers. Fitzpatrick in the shotgun with Johnson, takes the snap. Pressure coming. Fitzpatrick is going to get hit and sacked. He lost the ball. It's grabbed by Will Blackman. He's going back the other way. Touchdown. Takeaway touchdown, Jacksonville. And it put the Jaguars up 29-20. The final score, 29-27. But that was the game-sealing play for the Jaguars. They get win number 1 on the season and the first win after losing 13 consecutive regular season games dating back to last November 25th. Does this break the ice? Yeah. Now, how much can they break? We'll find out. They've got Arizona next Sunday. They've got the Houston Texans the week after. Those two teams, by the way, underway right now. So we'll see what they can do with that. But, Tony, final thought.
Well, I'll say this. They will win more games if the defense plays the way they did and they are opportunistic and get turnovers. Right. Now, the offense needs to play better. But defensively, if they build on this, they're going to win the ball games.
Special thanks to Brent Martineau on the Jaguars sideline today, chronicling that energy surge that we just hadn't seen all season long. John Dineen making the trip from Atlantic Beach to join us in the booth today. We always appreciate his efforts producing and spotting and helping Scott Kushner and Joe Fortunato, the dynamic duo of folks in the production side. Scott is our engineer. Joe is our hero. So with that, we will sign it off and send it back to another great crowd. You've got J.P. Shadrick, Marco Coleman, Jay Gray, Ed, Linda, the whole crew back at the HananiaAutos.com studio to take you the rest of the way. Happy total, happy outcome for the first time this year. 29-27, folks, the Jaguars win it. Thanks for listening on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Set, come on.
New spicy and bold Mighty Wings are now at McDonald's. Change your game day menu with meaty breaded homestyle Mighty Wings. Tackle the bold spice at McDonald's. I'm loving it. Want to win a pair of 2014 Jaguar season tickets? McDonald's and the Jaguars are teaming up to give one lucky fan a chance to kick a game-winning field goal at a Jaguars home game this year. To enter, visit any McDonald's store in South Georgia, Northeast Florida, or Gainesville and look for the Kick Is Good contest poster. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Welcome inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars postgame rolls along. It's a happy final in Nashville today as the Jaguars beat the Titans 29-27. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. The Jags are 1-8, Marco. Finally got the W.
Oh, it was a good win. I mean, they came out enthusiastic with a great tempo. Offensively, they pretty much came out, I would say, maintained and dictated the tempo. And that's the things you have to do in order to get a win is be able to handle the dictate, the way you want the game to go. Offensively and defensively, I would say they were able to do that today.
Jaguars are 1-8. Gus Bradley gets his first win in the National Football League as a head coach. The Jags are 21-16 all-time against Tennessee now. They've won four of the last six against the Titans. And the first win in Nashville for the Jaguars since the 2010 season. Let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. 29-27 final. A lot of keys to this victory today, Marco, but what would be the biggest one thing that made this team get over the top today?
You have to say the turnovers. Defensively, they were able to take advantage of the opportunities of the Titans putting the ball on the ground. A few weeks ago, balls on the ground. Defense wasn't able to make sure that they take advantage of it. There they were, and that created a lot more opportunities for the offense to score some points this time.
Number two, what does this win mean for this team?
Oh, it's
obviously it's a W, but
yeah, it's a W.
Something deeper, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you figure you go into a divisional opponent's place, win, and only when they had something to play about, you know, play for. You figure they're 4-4, just a couple games back from Indianapolis. They get this win, they put themselves in a position, especially with the Indianapolis loss, to really compete for this division. So they had a lot to play for, and to come in with the mentality to beat this team and to get it done with them having something on at stake, that's a pretty good win to hang your hat on.
And there's no doubt they were showing that Colts score in that stadium all day. They knew what was going on.
I'm sure the Titans knew,
Finally, what has to happen for this to happen again next week? Get back-to-back W's.
You know what? Well, we already know the quarterback, but that's going to be taken care of next year. But now the pass rush, you know, defensively, as good as they played, you have to recognize that a lot of those things, the Titans just really botched and just dropped the ball and things of that nature, but they took advantage of it. But the pass rush is non-existent. You're going to have a quarterback that can't throw the ball with some capable wide receivers next week. That if they can't get a rush, they have the potential to really hurt the defense.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. You know, Marco, boy, turnovers in this game were huge. Jaguars, had three fumble recoveries and an interception in this game. Of course, one returned for a touchdown by Will Blackman to really kind of seal this thing toward the end. Turnovers key, but it finally came on the Jaguars' side today.
Yeah, you know, and that's been the deal, the defense being able to get off the field. You watch the San Francisco game, the San Diego game, long drives, no big plays by the defense. And here they come up with the four turnovers, the tackles for losses also. Yeah. I mean, they had a lot of negative plays that they created that really helped the field position. You've also anger. You figure he had seven punts, man, three of them inside the 20. The field position was really major. The defense in the punting of anger, huge in allowing the offense some short fields.
Final score today at LP Field in Nashville. The Jaguars over the Titans 29-27. When we come back on Jaguars postgame, we'll listen through the highlights. The Metro PCS Sexton summary coming up. It's a happy final. The Jaguars get their first win of 2013, 29-27 over the division rival Titans. More after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Happy final today at LP Field in Nashville. The Jaguars get their first win in a long, long time. The last win came the week after Thanksgiving last season.
Wow.
Ends a 13-game losing skid. The Jags are now 1-8. They win 29-27 over the Tennessee Titans today in Nashville. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Let's get into the highlights of this game, the Metro PCS Sexton summary. First play from scrimmage for the Tennessee Titans. It's a run for Chris Johnson. It doesn't end well for Tennessee.
Here's the handoff to Johnson running over the right side looking for a hole. He's got one. And
fumble,
finds.
Fumble,
did he lose the ball?
Fumble,
well, it appears he lost the football. And the Jaguars say they've recovered. And they have. The Jaguars have recovered a fumble on the opening play of the ball game inside the Titans' 20-yard line.
Yeah, they got it deep in Titans territory. A few plays later, Maurice Jones-Drew for a touchdown.
Mike Brown in the slot right. Goes in motion left, leaving Cecil Shorts all by himself. Here's the handoff, Bo following the block. Guaneri going for the end zone. He's got it. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
6-yard score for Mojo. It's 7-0. Later in the first quarter, Scobie from 32 yards out after a couple of three and outs for Tennessee.
Left to right across your radar dial. The snap, the placement, the kick up on the way, and it is good. And the Jaguars extend to a 10-0 lead. Josh Scobie remains perfect on this season now.
Yeah, perfect indeed. 10-0 later in the quarter. Actually, the two drives later. An interception for Locker. Dwayne Gross gets his first pick in the NFL.
Locker looks at the safeties. They're split. Takes his time. Takes the snap. three-man rush for the Jaguars. Locker turns and throws, and this one is intercepted. Dwayne Crotts has got it. Heading back the other way, gets the block. He's at the 45, now across midfield. Still on the run, and he's down at the 45-yard line in Titans territory.
That set up a 44-yard field goal for Scobie. It made it 13-0. The Jaguars were in command of this game. The Jags, though, off the offense late in the first half, started to falter a bit. Chad Henne intercepted in the second quarter by McCarthy.
So an empty backfield and five targets. Henne takes the snap, drops, looks right, he's got to get rid of it quickly. He does it, picked off. Titans grab it at the 35-yard line. He was throwing for Mercedes Lewis, and it was intercepted by Colin McCarthy.
McCarthy got it, but the Titans would turn it back over. Johnson's second fumble of the first half. Russell Allen picks it up.
Locker hands the ball off, and Johnson bobbles it. It's on the field. Who got it? The Jaguars say they've got it. Kozlowski says they've got it. He's standing right there. He watched it bounce, but we'll see when they The Jaguars have it.
Jags have it indeed, but they couldn't do anything with it. Three and out, and the Titans got the ball back. Only a couple minutes left in the half, and they score. It's Thompson on a 9-yard touchdown pass from Fitzpatrick, who had entered the game for Locker.
And his play action. And Fitzpatrick is running, turning, and throwing, and he's got a receiver. Touchdown, Tennessee. He found Taylor Thompson, the tight end, coming across the back of the end zone.
13-7 was the halftime score. The Jags in the lead at the halftime locker room. They come out, though, in the second half. 8 plays, 79 yards, drive right down the field, and punch in a touchdown for Todman.
Todman in the ballgame now with a couple of tight ends, one wide receiver, first and goal from the 5. Here's the handoff to Todman. He's got room to the left side. Look at him go. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Untouched.
20-7 at that point. Baronis hit a 39-yard field goal for the Titans, made it 20-10. Punt either way, and then an interception for Chad Henne turned into another Baronis field goal, 20-13. In the third quarter, the Jags only had that short lead, but then deep in their own territory, the Titans had the football. The Jags were rushing deep into the end zone to try to get to Fitzpatrick. A holding call gets a safety, and the Jags are up by 2 scores in the fourth quarter.
Steps, turns, and throws, and Sean Green is hit right at the 1-yard line by Geno Hayes. No gain on the play. It'll be 3rd and 10 from there.
Boy, if there's a flag down, it's going to be a safety. I believe it's a flag down holding on Sedan Parks. That's going to be a safety.
If that's holding, that's a safety.
Holding. Offense. Number 70. The hold took place in the end zone. Result of the play. Touch. Safety.
And that's Sedan Parks doing a great job of rushing the passer.
22-13 at that point. Well, the Titans wouldn't go away, though. Fitzpatrick ends up the next drive with a 4-yard touchdown run. All of a sudden, a 2-point game again, 22-20.
They're spread out now. Fitzpatrick all by himself in the shotgun with 5 targets. Takes the snap. Now he's going to step, wants to run, and he is going to go for the end zone. He got there. Touchdown, Titans.
Touchdown, Titans, 22-20. The play of the game, though, comes a couple of drives later. Jags got the ball. Or rather, the Titans had the ball in, deep in their own territory. Will Blackman on a nickel blitz forces a fumble and takes it back all the way for what was really the game-deciding score.
Fitzpatrick in the shotgun with Johnson takes the snap. Pressure coming. Fitzpatrick is going to get hit. Sacked! He lost the ball! It's grabbed by Will Blackman. He's going back the other way. Touchdown! Takeaway, touchdown, Jacksonville!
What a play by Will Blackman. He comes off the inside receiver. He's covering Kendall Wright, and at the snap, he blitzes from the nickel position. Mike Otto, the tackle, never sees him. Blackman grabs Fitzpatrick and has the wherewithal to grab the ball at the same time as it comes out and then waltzes
all the way to the end zone for a touchdown. The Jags led 29-20. Fitzpatrick would hit Walker on a 14-yard touchdown for the Titans late, 29-27. Jags recover the onside kick, and they get the victory today, 29-27. Jaguars over the Titans. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. The Jaguars are 1-8. They snap a 13-game losing skid in the regular season. Their last win was against Tennessee. Their first win of this season was against the Tennessee Titans as well. We'll come back. Marco Coleman rejoins us. We'll take a look at the offensive, defensive players of the game. Jags win it 29-27. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Welcome back into Jaguars postgame from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. The Jags a winner today, 29-27 over the Titans. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman. There's a lot of ways to go here. Let's start off with the if you have to pick an offensive player of the game for the Jags today, Marco, who you got?
Oh, Maurice Jones-Drew. You figure Maurice accounted for 43% of the offense, 25 touches he had. You figure, 21 carries, 4 receptions. It was all about Maurice Jones-Drew, really, from the very start of the game. Those first three plays, taking them in after the fumble and scoring. Having him lead the offense, be the leader that he should be, he's the best player on offense, allowed you to dictate the tempo and what type of game you wanted to be, what type of game the offense wanted to be. You figure his identity is the type of team that you want to have, physical. He ran that way, had really good vision. It's probably the best we've seen Maurice, I would say, in a while, the way he played today.
I think you hit it on the head at halftime and just now, too. I mean, that really set the tone. That first drive or so, I think 5 of the first 6 plays had Maurice Jones-Drew involved in it, and that really set the tempo.
It really did. You know, the physicality of which they had to play, that they hadn't shown as a team, I would say, over the past few weeks. And by him, with the running game, that's the mentality. We talked about that before. It's a physical mentality. And right off the rip, give it to your best player. They got that started.
Let's go defense now. Plenty of options here today. The defense had some big plays, 4 turnovers in the game. Who's the defensive player of today's game?
You know, Hayes was all over the place. I mean, I was actually a little disappointed early here in the season that he just wasn't making any plays. He was all over the place. That they had him, forced a fumble, a pass deflected, nice little, really athletic play where he knocked the ball out of the air, 11 tackles. So he was all over the place. And I would have to say he probably did. It was some one-offs here and there. Really, as a defense, you know, you talk about the turnovers. A lot of those turnovers are really the Titans just blunders, to be honest with you. You know, Chris Johnson just dropping the ball a couple times. But what they did really good was the sudden change. The 2 turnovers by Henny, one, they came right back and they caused a turnover, got the fumble recovery, and then they held them. You know, they had, you know, the Titans had pretty good field position, and they held them to a field goal. So they did a really good job on that sudden change, which is significant in being able to keep the Titans from scoring points today.
Yeah, the yardage total in this game is going to be a bit skewed because Tennessee did move the ball quite a lot late in this ball game. We'll get to the stats coming up a little bit later. Is there a hidden gem for you today? Is there something that stands that might not stand out as much that was an important part of this game for you?
You know, not really. I mean, I think because of, you know, Maurice, as the game went on, you probably didn't notice because they weren't the big runs, sure, the flashy runs. But he maintained what this game was going. 43% of the plays went to Maurice Jones-Drew. He was the tempo setter and maintained the tempo. I think offensively, by feeding him as much as they did, they were able to make sure that they stayed in control of the game. I would say, you know, to me it would seem obvious, but Maurice Jones-Drew, you know, kind of was a hidden gem, you know, the way he was able to obtain, you know, all those the things that he was able to do today.
I'm sure fantasy owners of Maurice Jones-Drew weren't too happy. You know, he only had 41 yards, but he did get in the end zone one time. But who cares?
Who cares?
The Jags got to win.
They got the win.
29-27. That's the way that works. We'll come back in a moment and take a look through the statistics from today's games. The Jaguars' victory, 29-27 over the division rival Tennessee Titans. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame rolls along, and this portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today and celebrate a Jags win, why don't you?
Yeah.
29-27. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick with
Remove the goose egg, baby.
Coleman. This coffee tastes a lot better right now, I'll tell you.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know,
it's not spiked or anything.
Yeah, like I said, and it was a big win. You beat a team that had something really to play for. You figure, I guess they may stay in the same position somewhat between the Colts and the Titans at this point with the both loss. But to losing the division for the Titans is huge, you know, and they needed this win to keep themselves in the race for the division.
Let's look through some of the stats from today's game. Total yardage today, the Titans outgained the Jags 362-214. Obviously about situations for the Jags coming off turnovers. They had a short field early a couple of times in the first quarter in this game. A lot of the yardage came late for the Titans when they were driving down and actually keeping this game really close towards the end. It wasn't over until the final few seconds of the ball game. Turnovers, of course, key today. Four turnovers for the Jags defense, three fumbles. There were actually five fumbles, three lost by the Titans today. The Jags had three fumbles, but maintained possession on all three of those today. Offensively, rushing yardage today, the Titans 83 yards, Jags had 54, but it was really the way in which they came. It really set the tone in the game. They weren't, as you said earlier, Marco, big breakout runs today, but in certain situations, just pound the rock, baby.
You got two rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's huge. That's what matters, getting in the end zone.
That's right, and they did it twice. Jones-Drew had one. Todman had one. Passing yards, 279 for Tennessee, 160 for the Jags. Let's go individually now, Marco, and start off on the rushing yardage today. Maurice Jones-Drew, 21 carries, 41 yards, a long of 12. The average not there, two yards per carry, but who cares? He got in the end zone one time. And was really a tone setter in this game today. Todman, three carries, 11 yards, a 5-yard touchdown run. Robinson, 4 for 3, had a fumble also, recovered it. Henny, 2 for -1. Not gaudy numbers, but as you said, two rushing scores.
Yeah, but Maurice, I think the yardage or the stat that really stands out is the, you know, 33 yards in the receiving. You figure he had like an 8-yard average there. And just having him completely involved, he is the leader of that offense. In years past, I've said even in order for this offense to get going, Maurice has to take a very big role in getting the ball into his hands, whether it be via the pass or by the run. He is a tempo setter, and he's going to make all the hard yardage, and he'll get the team going. You know, he's the leader of the offense. He is the leader right now.
Looks pretty healthy, too. There's no doubt about that.
He looked real good. Now, he's real good runs, powerful runs, finishing his runs. You don't see him getting knocked back when he is getting tackled. He looks, you know, like the Maurice Jones-Drew that's a Pro Bowler. That's what he looks like right now.
Receiving, since you mentioned it, Jones-Drew, 4 receptions, 4 targets, 33 yards. Mercedes Lewis, 3 catches today. He had 2 all year entering the game today. 3 catches, 39 yards, a long of 27, where he was just plowing over guys and flipping them out of the way, and that was his first catch of the day. Cecil Shorts, the third, 2 receptions, 42 yards. Brown, 2 for 40, some long run after catch. Harbor, 1 for 13, Burton, 1 for 11, and it looks like a head injury again. Todman, 1 reception for 2 yards. That's the receiving today. So Jones-Drew, as you said, led the team in receptions. Chad Henne today, rating of 49.2, an ugly stat line, 14 of 23, 180 yards, no touchdowns, 2 interceptions, sacked 3 times. For a loss of 20 yards today. But he's got to be the quarterback going forward. He's got to win, right? That's what Tony Boselli was saying.
You got the choice of two evils, which one you want to choose. I don't think it would have made much of a difference in the quarterback stats, regardless of which one was in there. The key to the victory was completely Maurice Jones-Drew and that defense. And, you know, actually, I had to say the punting, the kicking game, because it allowed you to the short field in order for that running game to be effective. Because they had to go the long way a lot. It may have been a little bit more difficult because now you got to have some plays out of the quarterback to help you get down the field. So, you know, and also I guess Scobie, you know, and his leg.
True.
You know, so the special teams, despite the quarterback, they were able to get things done, you know, as a team.
Scobie, a couple of field goals today in the first half and maintains his perfect field goal percentage on the season. A few highlights for the Titans today. Chris Johnson, 12 carries, 30 yards. Long of 6. That's always good if you can bottle him up. He's lightning in a bottle if he gets loose. Green, 9 for 22. Fitzpatrick, 22 of 33 passing, 264 yards, 2 touchdowns. Great stat line, 111 rating. But it came in relief of Locker, who left with an apparent leg injury. Locker was 4 of 9, 24 yards. If Locker stays in the game, the Jags might blow him out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Fitzpatrick, and the thing was, you know, getting some pressure on him. They got the sack with Blackman towards the end of the game. It was off of a blitz. That front four, no pass rush all game long from the front four. Right. And that's the thing that Babbage, I think he wants to do is be able to get rush with floor. He doesn't seem to want to really do a whole lot of blitzing. And I think with that young secondary, it's probably in their interest not to. But they had to in order to get some pass rush. The front four has got to do a better job of harassing the quarterback. That was not done at all today.
I'll tell you what, give Babbage a little credit, though. When the game was on the line, when they needed a big play and they needed a blitz, down up by 2,
He had to.
Hey, he got it done.
He couldn't count on that front four to get it done.
That's right.
Because they were ineffective all game.
Had to do it. Right for the Titans today, 7 catches, 78 yards led the way for them. Johnson had 5 receptions and 43 yards, a lot of that after the catch. So, as a look at the statistics from today's game, the real statistic that counts, of course, is the final score, and the Jaguars beat the Titans 29-27. The Jags are now 1-8. The Titans are 4-5, and the Titans will welcome in the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday. The Jaguars welcome the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday here at Everbank Field. When we come back, a look around the National Football League scoreboard. Some tight games today in the NFL. We'll get you caught up on all the action on Week 10 in the National Football League. Jags a winner, 29-27 over the Titans. More after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame is presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Jaguars postgame rolls along. The final score from LP Field in Nashville. It's a happy final today for the Jaguars. They get the first win of the season, 29-27 over the Tennessee Titans. Gus Bradley gets his first win as the Jags head coach. The Jags have now won 4 of the last 6 against the Titans, which is kind of hard to believe.
Oh, it's a good deal. And they want to see the Titans every week.
Come on, bring them on. We play them again.
Well, they got one more shot. They got another shot.
That's right. Let's look around the National Football League scoreboard in Week 10. A lot of games final from earlier. A wild one in Baltimore today. The Ravens led most of the way, but on the last play from scrimmage and regulation, a Hail Mary touchdown for the Bengals tied the score at 17. Ravens hit an overtime field goal in their second possession to get the victory. 20-17. Ravens a winner. They're now 4-5. Bengals dropped to 6-4. Final at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. The Steelers really handled the Bills today. 23-10. Manuel didn't do much in his return. 155 yards passing, 1 touchdown. Roethlisberger didn't do much on the other side either, actually. The Steelers kind of pound their way through for a win. 23-10 over the Bills. The Giants are a winner over the Raiders, 24-20. That was a wild one, back and forth at MetLife Stadium. Manning, stat line's awful, 12-22, 140 yards, a touchdown, but he is a winner today. The Giants are 3-6. A surprise in Indianapolis. The St. Louis Rams, 38, and the Colts, 8. Mm. Tavon Austin had a huge day. 2 receptions, 138 yards receiving, 2 touchdown receptions, and a punt return of 98 yards for a touchdown. The rookie out of West Virginia. Big, huge day for St. Louis. They're now 4-6. The Colts are 6-3, but they still maintain lead in the division because of the Titans' loss today. And, boy, that would have been a big break for the Titans.
Huge if they could have came with a win. Like I said, this game was a big game for the Titans. Yeah. They weren't able to take advantage of it. So you see where they're a pretender. Titans are, they're faking the funk.
Okay. Moving along, scores today. Eagles over the Packers, 27-13 at Lambeau. Foles had 3 more touchdowns today for the Eagles. They're now 5-5. Big game in the NFC North, and the Lions get a huge road win. They're in control of first place in that division, 21-19. They beat the Bears. Bears are 5-4. Packers are now 5-4 as well. The Lions are in first. Seahawks over the Falcons at the Georgia Dome. Seahawks are 9-1 now with a 33-10 win over the Falcons, who are a disappointing 2-7. Games active in the NFL now. Second games of the day, midway through the second quarter, the 49ers lead the Panthers 6-0 at Candlestick. Cardinals over the Texans 14-7. Those are the next two opponents for the Jaguars. That game is early in the second quarter in Arizona. Cardinals are here next week at Everbank. The Texans are the opponent after that. The Broncos at the Chargers in San Diego, early second quarter. Peyton Manning has a touchdown pass, of course, 7-3. Broncos over the Chargers. And the night game, of course, the Cowboys visit the Superdome in New Orleans and face the New Orleans Saints, who are 6-2 and undefeated at home. That's a look around the National Football League in Week 10. The most important score, the Jaguars 29, the Titans 27. Jaguars get their first win of 2013. We'll wrap up Jaguars postgame right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame brought to you by PRI Productions. Final score from Nashville, 29-27, Jaguars over the Titans. Jags are now 1-8, Marco, and they'll welcome in the Arizona Cardinals here at Everbank Field, 1 o'clock Sunday. and a chance to get something done at home. Finally, they haven't been able to do anything at home all year.
Yeah, if they can do what they did today, and that was dictate the tempo, they'll get themselves a really good chance. You figure having Maurice Jones-Drew as a vocal point and him healthy playing well, it really bodes well for the Jaguars. Now, defensively, they got to get a pass rush with those front four. I think that Palmer definitely has the ability, and with a wide receiver like Fitzgerald, giving Palmer too much time, he can find him, and he gets open, and he'll make some plays. That'll be difficult. So they got to be able to find a way to get the rush with the four, and that'll definitely help that defense out to be even more of a better defense, get some, continue to make those big plays.
Cardinals are leading the Texans currently. That's early second quarter, 14-7, the final score. Marco, great stuff as always.
Hey, man, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Jay Pizzle.
We'll see you next week.
My man.
Next week, 1 o'clock kick. We're on air at noon with Jaguars pregame. The Jags host the Arizona Cardinals, and it's the Military Appreciation Game. Go to Jaguars.com for the tickets. Senior VP of Communications for the Jaguars is Dan Edwards. Executive producer of Jaguars Radio, Mike Dorward. Manager of Jaguars Radio, Joe Fortunato. Producers are Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco. Anchor of Jaguars pregame is Jeremy Ratliff, and Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli, Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Once again, the final score from Nashville, Jaguars 29, Titans 27 on the Jaguars Radio Network.